Okay, if you guys want to turn to your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11, it says, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who was the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." I'll remind you that our theme this year is building up of the body of Christ, which is why we have it up there. This morning I'm going to give the message I was going to give last week when God changed it last Friday morning. I was working on a message the whole week, and then last Friday morning, if you remember, I was at the gym. God told me I was supposed to change what I was doing, and so I did that. And so I'm going to give the message that I had been working on the week before, and it has to do with the saints, and it has to do with ministry, and it has to do with service. So that's what we're looking at this morning. So a couple of weeks ago, I walked into my small men's group. I have a small men's group. We meet every Saturday morning at Bravo Burger at 7:30. And I walked in there, and there was a guy sitting there, and I sat down. And this is what he said. He said, "I just want to share something with you, Dave." He says, "You know what? You're carrying more weight in your face than you used to. And the older you get, the more you look like your dad." And I said, "Man, thanks. That's great. I'm carrying more weight than I used to. Appreciate it. That's a great way to start my day. Appreciate you for that." And it's true. I'm carrying more weight. It's just because I'm carrying more weight in general. That's why I'm carrying more weight in my face. But what I ended up taking it as is that I'm praying that I'm starting to look more and more and more like my daddy. More and more like my Abba. More and more like the one who loves me so much. Nothing wrong with looking like my earthly father, but I want to be looking more and more and more like Jesus. Amen. I pray that for all of us, that we're all looking more and more and more like him. It says here in verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service," or as some translations has, "for the work of ministry." So, a reminder of what we talked a little bit about last week. My job of the pastor of this church is to equip the saints. That's my job. It's our job to realize that we're all saints, that you are a saint. The Bible calls you a saint. And I had a bunch of scriptures, and actually don't think I have them because I didn't take them over from last time, but I had a bunch of scriptures because Paul starts so many times in the middle, starting of his book, he's to the saints here, to the saints there. The word saint in the Greek is hagios, and I didn't make a slide for it. The word is hagios, and it means holy or most holy. God calls you holy or most holy. And it says that the pastors and the teachers are to be equipping the holy ones, the saints. And I've shared this before, but it's easier for us to believe and to see ourselves as sinners than it is to see ourselves as saints, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there's not just one or two ministers in this church. Every person in this church, every person in every church, is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has a ministry for each and every one of us. And God has gifts, gift or gifts, that he gives to whom he wills to help us fulfill the ministry that he has for us. But he wants us to be equipped. He wants us to be ready. And so that's what I try to do, is equip us, equip the saints for the ministry that God has for us. The equipping, I'll just remind you, is the Greek word katartismos, and it means complete furnishing or perfecting. It means completing it and perfecting it. And so we are to be in a perpetual growing and equipping and closer to God. So it's equipping. It's never equipped. We never arrive. We're never completely there. We're always growing more and more and more and more. So we are being equipped and equipping. And so to do this, we need to spend time in God's Word. This is something churches hear Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, over and over and over, spending time in God's Word. It's something I talk about and bring up throughout the whole year. And there's a reason I do it. It's because it is so important, and most of us don't do it. If we're honest, most of us don't get into God's Word throughout the week. We say it's important. We say we want to do it. We hear it's important. We believe it's important. But we just let it sit there. And we don't get into it. And so I want to encourage us and challenge us. If we're going to be equipped as ministers the way God wants to equip us, it's going to mean we're going to take some time into God's Word. And I read through the Bible every year. But that's just for me personally. That's just for me, for my own feeding every single day. Every single year I get a brand new Bible. Every single year I get a different translation. If it's one I've never read, I look for one I've never read. And I read through the Bible every single year. It's something I've done for years. And the reason I get a different translation is because the NASB is the translation I use week in and week out. And you get so used to it, you just put your mind on autopilot and you quit reading and you're really trying to digest what God wants to give you. But God's Word and getting into God's Word, it's such an important thing, and I would say most of us don't do it. Yet the Bible calls us all saints and all ministers, which we are. I just want you to understand, as a minister, hopefully you want to be equipped. You want to be ready. You want to know what you're doing. I've been riding a motorcycle for 9 years. It happened 9 years ago. You guys have heard the story, but I'm going to share it again. And hopefully I'll remember to make my point through the story and not just share a quick story. 9 years ago, I was turning 50. I looked at Aaron and I said, you know what, Aaron, I'm turning 50. You're turning 13. She's a little younger than I am. I'm turning 50. I said, and we're going to celebrate our 25th anniversary. I said, maybe we could do something special. Maybe we could try to save some money and go on a cruise or something like that. And then somebody heard and they came to me and said, you know what? For next year, if you will learn how to ride a motorcycle, I will fly you and Aaron to Italy and pay for a 2-week motorcycle tour if you learn how to ride a motorcycle. And I said, serious? Yep. And I said, done. I'll do it. Now, you have to understand, I was given a Kawasaki 1000 Concours that used to be my father-in-law's, Aaron's dad. And I started riding that, and I was so intimidated. I got on the thing. I was just super intimidated. I'm just driving around the neighborhood. I started feeling a little more comfortable. I've just been riding a little bit. I decided to go into town, into San Juan. I live in San Juan. I was going to Denault. I was going on Ortega, and I was going to turn left onto Del Obispo. And going around the corner, I downshifted into second, which I shouldn't have done, which I didn't know. And as I downshifted into second, the whole back end of the bike slid about a foot and a half. And my eyes got this big, and I came up doing this, and cars are looking at me, and I'm going through and trying to get control, going around this turn. And I come up, and I almost run into the telephone pole, and then I turn around and make the turn, and I pull into the Nalt. And after I went and cleaned out my shorts, I didn't want to get back on that bike. It scared the bejeebers out of me. I was standing there shaking, and I called somebody and said, "Oh my gosh, I don't want to do this. I just scared myself so badly. I'm shaking. I have to ride home." I was trying to calm myself down. The reason I shared the story is I ended up taking a class at Saddleback that ended up helping me. At this point, I didn't have a motorcycle license, and I hadn't taken the class. One of the things they teach you in the class is never downshift when you're turning. Whatever you're doing in the turn, have everything ready before you start your turn. I hadn't been told that. I was just given a motorcycle, and I was going to Italy. It was that simple. Let's do this thing. Well, you know what? Since I don't have time, I'll quit the story there. You want to be equipped. You want to be ready. When you go to the doctor's office, you want to go to a doctor who actually went to medical school, who actually opened the books and studied. You want to go to somebody who knows what they're talking about. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." The only way to accurately handle the word of truth is to learn the word of truth. And the way to do that is to spend time in the word of truth. The Bible's not saying that you should feel shame. It's saying we should be studying this so we can handle accurately the word of truth. So when people come to us, and I have to tell you, even to this day, people will ask me questions, and I will say, "You know what? I don't know, or I don't remember, but I'll look it up for you, and I'll get back to you." It's okay to say that. But that's not an excuse not to study. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable." Stop there. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Let that sink into your heart and into your soul. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Let's stop here 1 second. It's my job to equip you. But you can't be fully adequately equipped once a week on Sunday morning. People who go to medical school don't just go to school, stay in class, and then they're done. When you go home, your homework, homework, homework. You study, study, study. You get it, you get it. You keep going. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I can lead you to water. I can try to get you so you will help start with this equipping process. I can lead you there. I can encourage you. If you want me to, I can start beating on you and try to see if that works. But I can't make you drink. This morning, if you get nothing else at, if just one person, and I want everybody in this room, if we'll all start reading God's word this morning, when we leave today, I will be a happy man. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. John 15, 1 through 5 says, "I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You're already a Christian. You're already clean. Your sins are washed away. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Part of abiding in the Lord and abiding in the vine is abiding in his word and spending time in his word. So as we spend time in his word, we get to know him better. How do you get to know somebody better in a relationship? Spend time with them. But not just time with them. You sit down and you talk and you share. It doesn't count to just sit down next to the TV, next to each other, share a meal, and call that fellowship. That doesn't work. We don't get to know each other better. As a matter of fact, when I was doing premarital counseling with a couple yesterday, I told them, I said, one of the things I want you guys to do, and if you eat a meal together now, because he actually lives upstairs in the apartment above her, and so he's downstairs in her apartment all the time, I said, one of the things I want you to start doing is don't watch TV when you eat. Sit down at the table and talk. I said, for two reasons. One, you're going to spend time together, and it's going to help your relationship. And two, when you have kids, the best thing you can do is turn off the TV, sit down around the table, and share, and let it be a family time to share. And if you're like my family growing up, you have one day out of the month where you have Table Manners Day. And on Table Manners Day, you dress up in a suit when you're in like third grade. My mom's dying laughing over there. We actually would dress up in a suit, and my mom would get out china, and we had to sit around the table and practice our table manners. Well, that was a bust. Don't do that. But yeah, missed it by that much. Yeah. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. As a fruit tree, you know what we want to do? Bear fruit. As ministers of God, you know what we want to do? Bear fruit. So we want to be equipped. We want to be ready. We want to be abiding in the vine. We want to have our nutrients and everything coming through him. A couple more scriptures, and I'm going through these scriptures because this is so important about God's word. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." To make a defense. If you hire an attorney who's going to be defending you, you want somebody who's gone to law school. You want somebody who spent time on your case, who spend a lot of time studying the background of your case. So when you come up before the judge, he can represent you well. And the way to do that is you have to study. If we are going to be able to defend our faith, defend our Lord, defend who God is to the world around us, it's going to take time by studying. And the more we study and the more we prepare ourselves, the better off we are. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks. Okay, so we make a defense, and then it says to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. You want hope in your life? Christ is our hope. Jesus is our hope. You want to give the world hope? You want to get built up in hope? You struggling? You going through it? Spend time in God's word. The thing is, what I've seen is, so for many of us, The only time we spend time in God's Word is when we're really, really, really going through it. Then we get out, then we start praying, then we get out God's Word and we start going through it. And once the trial goes away, then we kind of have a tendency to go back to where we were. Relationships are dynamic, they're not static, they're always changing. You're either growing closer or you're growing apart. That's true with your relationship with Jesus. It's true with your relationship with your spouse. It's true with your relationship with your children, with your boss, with everybody. You're either growing together or you're growing apart because they're changing all the time. So the more time we're spending in God's Word, the more time we're growing closer to Him, the more time that we are able to give the hope that's in us because we're built up in hope, because we have hope, because we're spending time in God's Word, and God's Word builds us up in hope. And the world out there is looking for hope. And some of the issues we're dealing with, like gun control, is because they're looking for an answer and they can't find it. So we're grasping at all these different straws, trying to come up with an answer. The answer is right here. The answer is the Lord. The answer is in God's Word. And as I shared last week, the answer is in the church, being the church that Jesus has called the church to be. So we make a difference on society around us. That's where the answer lies. But we're grasping at straws, we're looking at anything. And I'll tell you this, I can relate to that because I have a bad back. And there was a time I was trying all these different chiropractors because you get in so much pain, after a while you do just about anything you can to get out of pain. And the world is hurting and they're looking for hope and they're looking for answers and they're looking for a people who can make a defense. And to make a defense, we have to know what we're talking about. I'll also tell you this, and this isn't an excuse not to read God's Word. Even if you don't know God's Word, and you're open to being used by the Holy Spirit, He can still speak through you. He can still give you words. You don't have to have the Bible memorized. You don't have to know everything about it. You can be there and say, Lord, I'm a willing vessel, and He'll use you. But that's not an excuse not to study, because He tells us over and over to study God's Word. He tells us to be ready. He tells us to be prepared. Look at the parable of the 10 virgins. Some of them had oil, 5 of them did, 5 of them that didn't. The 5 that did went in and they were go. The 5 that didn't, they were left out and they never got in. That's in Matthew chapter 25, and I don't have a chance to go through that. So, Matthew 6:11, and during the prayer, He says, give us this day our daily bread. Part of getting in God's Word is getting our daily bread, is building ourselves up, is getting us strong spiritually. We need these meals. We need God's manna. We need to hear from Him on a daily basis, and we get it in God's Word. And then Acts 2:42 says, this is right after the day of Pentecost. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were continually devoting themselves. They were purposing to spend time with the apostles' teaching. They didn't have the written word like we have it now. Now it's simple for us. And so they wanted to hear the apostles' teaching. We want to hear the Word of God. So for me, as a pastor of the church, one, I try to model what I preach. Am I perfect? Darn near. No, not even close. But I try. And I'm into God's Word. I can't say every single day, but darn near, and I do mean that seriously. I'm in God's Word, reading God's Word, almost every single day. And I'm going to tell you this. When I'm not, it makes a difference in my walk with the Lord. And you're no different than I am. If it makes a difference in my life, I know it will make a difference in your life. So I'm challenging and I'm encouraging you. Start getting God's Word. Purpose to do it. So whatever time. For me, I like it in the morning. And it doesn't always work that way, but that's what I like, because for me, when I get focused on the Lord in the morning, when I start my day with God and God's Word and in prayer, when I start the day that way, I keep God with me throughout that day. If I don't start the day in prayer, it's easy for me to get locked up in my busy schedule and what I'm doing and go through the whole day and not even bring God in. So for me, personally, I like to start, because when I start, I end up finishing with God. So one is, I want to exemplify what I'm talking about. I want to model it. I do want to feed, even when I preach. I do want to give you guys good meals. And I want to exhort you and challenge you to drink, to taste and see that the Lord is good, that the water's nice. Jump in and join me. I was looking for a scripture here, and I don't see it. So I'll move on. Oh, here's the other thing. You want to know God's will? Because I hear this all the time. You want to know what God's will is? Start opening this up. Start looking. What's your will for me, Lord? Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, talks about God opening doors that no man can shut and shutting doors that no man can open. When you know that scripture and you say, God, I'm praying in my life right now that you will open and shut doors that no man can open and no man can shut. And as you open a door, I'm going to walk through it and I'm going to go through it. And I pray that all the time for people and for myself. God, I'm not sure where to take this turn in the road. So I'm going to ask, Lord, that you will open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. And you know what God does? He opens doors that no, and then he shuts doors. And when he shuts them, you thank him for it, because it's a blessing that he shut it, because you didn't want to go behind door number 3. You want door number 1 where you get the trip and the vacation and all the stuff, not door number 3 when you get a lemon. If you've never seen Let's Make a Deal, that's from Let's Make a Deal. But want to know God's will? Spend time in God's Word. Philippians 4:11 through 13 says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. It says, I've learned to be content in every circumstance. God wants us to learn to be content in every single circumstance that we have in our life, but he never wants us to be content in the relationship we have with him. He always wants us to be getting closer, drawing more to him, taking more from him. Psalm 42, 1 through 2 says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you. Oh my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I didn't happen to see this, but I used to go bass fishing on this reservoir up in Irvine. And one time, a guy was out fishing out there. It's where they're building all these houses out there around this reservoir now. And you can actually see the reservoir when you look down coming off the toll road out there. This guy was out fishing on the reservoir. He's out in this little boat, and all of a sudden these deer come running down the hill, and they come running, and all of them just jump in the water and start swimming. And he said their eyes were this big, and they were all tired and they were all thirsty. And shortly right after that came this mountain lion running up right to the edge of the water. And these things were like swimming for their lives. If you see an animal that's been out running for a long distance and it's thirsty, or if you've ever experienced like thirst and you're out there and you can't drink, like before surgery, or you've been out there and you don't have enough water. Like one time my dad and I were out duck hunting together and it was really hot. And I had brought this water out and my dad said, Dave, do you have any water? I said, yeah, I have water. He goes, where's yours? He goes, oh, I finished it all. Like, okay, yeah, you can have some of my water. Well, when I went for my water, it was gone. He drank it all. And it was probably 90-something degrees, and I'm the one who did 95% of the work. And I'm out there in 95-degree weather with no, well, there's water all around me, but it's not water you can drink. It's water the ducks are landing in, and it's not drinking water. So I mean, I don't know if I can share this in church, but I just got naked and went and lied down in the water to cool my body down because I was starting to get so hot. I think it was starting to get dangerous. And so I just took my clothes off and went down and cooled myself down. There's no way I was going to drink that water and make myself sick for a long period of time. If you've ever experienced thirst like that, that's how we should be thirsting after God's word. That's the way we should be thirsting after a relationship for Him. That's the way we should be hungering after Him. And to get our thirst quenched, start going to God's word. Except it's never completely quenched. What's the most, one of the most important things we do throughout the day that doctors keep telling us now? Hydrate. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Mom, I want you to start hydrating more, and I mean that literally in a physical sense. It will be so much better for you and your body and all the aches and pains you're in. She said, I am. That's not enough. I want more. Don't give me excuses. Say, sir, yes, sir. I mean, sir, son, sir. I don't know what I mean. Hydrate. Hydrate yourself spiritually. We're dried out. Hydrate. Go to the Holy Spirit. Go to God's Word. Go to the vine. Have the nutrients we need. This is only the first point of my sermon, and it's time for me to wrap it up. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Church, I pray this week you have a thirsting for the Lord like you've never had before. I pray you have a hunger for the Lord and God's word like you've never had before. Because you are a saint, and as a saint, you are a minister. That's what the verse 12 tells us, that you are a saint, and therefore you are a minister. And as a minister, He wants you equipped, and He wants you well hydrated. He wants you ready to go, to make a defense of the gospel, to share your faith, and to give the world hope that they're looking for. And the only place they're going to see it is in Him. And the number one the place they see Him is through you and through me as ambassadors for Him. Amen? Amen. So this week, you know what? I've never done this. I'm going to do a raise of hands. How many of us to this week, to the best of our ability, because we'll probably mess up, we'll try to read God's word every single day? Raise your hand. Okay, if your hands are not raised, you're going to hell. No, I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. I'm just kidding. Kidding. I pray we all have our hand raised and we all do it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. And Lord, you know what? I'm just excited about who you are and what you're doing right now, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that some of my excitement for you, Lord, would just be caught, would just become contagious, Lord Jesus. And we would start thirsting for your word the way we've never thirsted for your word before. And we would start just devouring your word. And as we devour it, not just becoming fat and happy, but we would devour it and go out and start ministering to those around us, Lord Jesus, and taking your word to the world around us. Lord, set us on fire for you, Lord Jesus, a fire that's burning out of control. Set us on fire for your word, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you use each and every one of us this week for your glory. And as we are all purposing and trying to read your word every day, that you will remind us sometime throughout that day, and we'll take that time and we'll get in your word and spend time with you. And what we get, we'll share with those around us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Amen.